GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Hey, very welcome back. So we're going to reflect on the weekend's hurling. First up this evening, we have Tommy Dunn and Seanie McGrath on the line in Munster. Obviously, Cork beat Clare by 5 points in the end, and we saw Limerick beat Tipperary by 6 points, which is their biggest winning margin over Tipperary in the Championship since 1981, no less. And then up in Leinster, it was round two of the Championship. In the end, Kilkenny very comfortable against Offaly, 219 to 113. And it was another really good game involving Dublin. For the second week in a row, Dublin losing a game in extra time. It finished Wexford 22 points, Dublin 214. Rory O'Connor and Harry Keogh with the winning points in extra time. We're going to focus more on the Munster games, but first, here was Davy Fitzgerald speaking to reporters after Wexford's win.
I just think we made it hard on ourselves. I think I honestly believe that we should have killed that game off once or twice and we let them back into it. The two goals or two errors we made, if you look at them back, the first one we made a sharp ball that Damo gave to Paddy, shouldn't have given it. The second one we missed it twice, Lee missed rising at total control, Damo missed it the second time. So you give away two momentum swings like that, it's very hard to turn it back. Like normally the team that gets that momentum wins it. But in fairness to the lads, they weren't giving up. And there's no doubt in my mind Wexford are the better team today.
Do you think that because you haven't been in action for so long, in competitive action anyway, that maybe you just haven't found your touch just yet for the Championship?
I'm delighted how we played. How we played pretty decent stuff. Like, we created about 38 chances. I think we had 22 scores, 13 wides, another two goal chances. Like, so that's right up there with anyone, what they'll shoot. And it's just when you're up, you've got to kill the game off. We didn't. We were up twice. We should have. But you know what? That'll stand us good. As I told you, we're only a year and a half down here into this project. And the lads, you can see it. Now, a lot of teams wouldn't have come back the way they came back with 2 minutes to go, and they finished very strong.
Having been kind of in control right up to the hour mark for around.
How many times did they lead out of 70 minutes?
That's what I mean. For around 5 minutes after they went ahead, were you getting nervous because there was a few mistakes that hadn't been there?
I think they only led even less than with 2 or 3 minutes to go. I think that's when they got ahead. Naturally, it's not a nice time to go behind that time of the game. Yeah. It's happened to me once or twice before with Clare, so I know what the story is. But the thing I loved, we didn't drop the heads. Even when we went down, we fought. And I think that's very important. Now, fair play to Dublin today. You have to say the lads have done a great job of them, and I really think they have. But I honestly believe we were the better team today by a small bit. But I'm delighted to get the victory. It's very important to us.
Plenty to look forward to over the next couple of weeks. Now, Kilkenny and Galway to come.
I tell you the truth now. Kilkenny and Galway are the furthest thing from my mind. And that's being totally honest with you. I'd have awful respect for what Offaly have done. I think Kevin Martin has done an incredible job. And we have to say it. I really think he has. He's bridged the gap. And I always said that they might catch someone in the Championship. And they have to win against us. And I think you'd normally tell us Wexford find it hard to win up there, no matter what the story is. We always find it tough. So we know that that's coming, and we have to get ready for it.
Dublin clearly play quite a physical game, Davey, but I mean, your men more than stood up to them.
Loved it. We knew what was coming. I went up to see it last week. They probably deserved to win last week more than they did this week, without a shadow of a doubt. They were very unlucky last week. But I think Pat and the lads will be extremely happy in the progress they've made. And listen, trust me, things ain't bad up there. The way they're approaching things, I think they've done a very good job, and they're going to be ones to watch, I'll tell you.
Have you any view on the fact that it's not definite, but like when Dublin meet Offaly in a couple of weeks' time, it could be effectively a relegation shootout?
I can't even think about that. I swear to God, the only thing that's on my head is Offaly next week. I have to pay them the utmost respect, and I know that they're on the way back, and I can't even think about who'll play who. All I have to make sure is that Wexford prepare properly for a game. It's my job to do that and be ready for that. And all I'm thinking of is I know it's going to be a battle up in Tullamore, and I got to get my lads ready for that. Like, week after week is tough. Week after week is tough, so we're looking forward to the next few.
So that's Davy and Wexford up and running in Leinster. So they've Offaly next. Dublin go away and lick their wounds. And then we have Offaly against Dublin in what has been billed as that relegation decider. As I said, Tommy Dunn and Seanie McGrath, both All-Ireland winners who've also coached at inter-county level with Tip and Cork, are on the line. Tommy, you'd have to say 45,000 in Munster across the two games, 25,000 in Portcullis, and then 20,000 in Limerick. Far from almost dulling the interest, the extra games have actually whetted the appetite. People can't wait to see how this mini soap opera plays out, both in Leinster and in Munster now, especially.
Yeah, crowds were healthy enough. I was a small bit disappointed with the crowd in Limerick, actually, Joe.
Right.
And I think I was talking to one of the Tipp County Board officials on Sunday morning, and I think he said that there was only about 15,000 tickets sold at that stage. No, I think there was over 20,000 at the game, but it was still a good atmosphere. But like, one terrace was completely empty, and it's still a far cry from the Munster Championship we'd have known through the 80s and 90s.
But I think attendances were falling over the last number of years, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, and that's just the way the modern championships are now. But it was still terrific Munster Championship fair. There wasn't much difference in terms of what was on offer between the white lines. I can tell you that it was full of commitment, full of physicality, full of skill, full of passion, and both teams had their eye on that game and nothing else. So from that point of view, it was terrific stuff.
Well, on that specific point of work rate and passion, I'm glad you raised that, because I've heard it said in the last 24 hours that Tipperary were flat, that the work rate was down. You think, for instance, of the Dan McCormick goal and the way the Tipperary wrestled the ball back. It was like a ruck with five or six players, and Tipperary came out on top there. It struck me as odd to be throwing work rate in their faces. I mean, there were plenty of failings. I don't know if work rate or lack of desire was one of them.
I certainly wouldn't. I couldn't argue that point, that any of those were issues in the team's performance. I mean, that's a brilliant example that you raised. Like, there was a tremendous exchange under the cover stand that both sets of players went into the contact at 100 miles an hour, and John McGrath's one-handed stroke off the post and Dan's follow-up finished the move off, and a huge swing in Tipp's favour. But that epitomised the game, or that part of the game was very, very competitive, right, until maybe the last 3 or 4 minutes Limerick pulled away. But there was nothing in the game until then. Sometimes I think people, particularly if you end up on the losing team, the supporters can get very pessimistic, and maybe sometimes analysts as well can summarise the game very quickly that Tipperary were completely outplayed. They weren't completely outplayed as far as I was concerned. We didn't have the upper hand in many sectors in the field, but Tipp were still very much in the game with 5 or 6 minutes left. Limerick finished a stronger team, no question, and were fully deserving of their win. But Tipp were competitive right through, but just weren't firing on all cylinders for whatever reason. But Limerick, everyone knows that, and they lived up to that billing yesterday and played tremendous stuff.
Yeah, Seanie, give us your reading of the game first off.
I suppose I wouldn't go against that. And Tommy has said there, I think they were well in the game coming down the final stretch. Limerick got the home support behind them. They got a couple of key scores. And I suppose from Tipp's perspective, like, some of their key players, you need your marquee players really stepping up. Obviously in Cork we had like Patrick Horgan doing for us down here. And for Tipp, some of their big players, and look, every fella's entitled to an off day. They didn't really shoot the lights out. I suppose every day they go out, you're expecting the McGraths to get 4 or 5 points each from play. They got 2 each, which was still a decent return, but they were a little bit subdued at times. Bubbles really didn't get into the game in a big way, in a commanding way that you'd expect from them. So I think there's as much to do with, Limerick getting the crow behind them with the last 5 minutes. Tipp players maybe not playing to their optimum and playing to their best ability. Probably wouldn't make the point, just to be a small bit critical, that I was a bit surprised by the team selection from Michael Ryan. And maybe Tommy would know a bit more and have a bit more insight in regard why fellas weren't there. Maybe they weren't fully fit. He did still bring on some of those marquee names. The game was going against him and he had to bring them on. But I was a little bit surprised with the team selection, and it's probably what I'd be fearful next week when Cork go up to Turles. Mm. If these fellas have another week's training behind them, some of these big players like Brendan Maher and Shelley Callan, Bonner Maher and those guys, like, they're huge players. They've been massive players for Tipp. They've got them over the line in the past. Not to take away from any of the other players that took the field for Tipperary, they battled away admirably. But I just think, when you've got those marquee players, those All-Ireland winners in your ranks, I was a bit surprised that he didn't play a few more of them.
Yeah, well, I might bring in Tommy on that point. So there were 5 championship debutants for Tipperary, and the sense from Friday night when the team was named, Tommy, was that Tipperary were very vulnerable here to a Limerick side fresh from promotion in Division 1B. So people were even comparing this Tipp side with the side that kind of took the team against Galway, the pitch against Galway last year, where you felt that Tipperary finally found themselves last year. So you had James Barry at 3 last year, Ronan Maher at 6, Paddy Maher at 7. I'm not sure why those two switched yesterday. Maybe you can explain that. Brendan Maher, I know, had a hamstring. And Shamie Callanan's coming back, but he was on the bench. James Barry was an unused substitute yesterday. There's certainly raised eyebrows, or there's a bit of confusion as to Michael Breen's thinking. Michael Ryan's thinking, excuse me.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, it's
Michael Breen being another player.
Yeah, absolutely. A man that's, some would say, is unlucky to lose out, considering he played most of the National League at corner forward and didn't, you know, was on the bench yesterday. So yeah, look, there's, and I can't answer the questions because I don't know. Right. And it's fair enough to say that there was a good deal of surprise around the team. Look, everyone knows that the full back line was an issue. So and there was always the possibility of James Barry maybe not starting at full back. But having said that, no one, I don't think anyone would have foresaw Seamus Kennedy starting at fullback. So they obviously had something to go on from the last number of weeks since the league final. I think the problems for Tip really are starting in defence more than attack. The attack has shipped a lot of criticism today for not firing in all cylinders, and that's fair enough. But I do think the attack really is only as good as the defensive platform that's there. In my reading of hurling down through the years, you really have to have a very solid and stable backline and settled backline. Tip just haven't had that for a little while. Like the positional thing between Porrig and Ronan, that didn't raise too many eyebrows. They interchange a lot, you know. Okay. What I mean? In at club level with Thurles Sarsfields, Ronan plays all his hurling at wing back and Porrig plays at centre back. So what was a bit more surprising was the midfield thing, I think, given that Ronan played a lot of the league at midfield and had some really, really top class outings there. Like, he's a very, very good all-round player. His strengths are in his ball distribution and the quality of his striking and his ability to hit long range points. He's probably not that comfortable having to mark or having to trail around after a forward to spoil people. He's a really good attacking kind of a player. So you might see that change again, where he reverts to 6 and Porrig back to the 7 slot. And look, Alan Flynn had a very good league campaign at cornerback, and Donna was in a cornerback yesterday, and we were in trouble in the corner positions from the very word go. Like, Limerick really had the edge on us from the very first ball or two that went in, and we were fighting fires there from very early on in the game. And no matter what people say about the league, Joe, and we got to the league final, and it was a good league from a Tip point of view. The difference in intensity and pace between championship and even a league final is just a different story. And we just didn't adapt to that, and some of our inexperienced guys didn't make that step up yesterday. But like, yeah, you know, I can see the rationale where Michael's coming from with a couple of these guys. Okay. Willie Connors is another guy that had a reasonable league campaign. Billy McCarthy got lots of league time, and as Shawnee said, they battled away well enough in the middle of the field without ever influencing the game. But I think if and when Tip can sort out the backline issues, and that's a big if, by the way, then I think you'll see a direct correlation between better attacking play. That's my opinion.
Your take? Yeah, no, it's very interesting to get the background and some of those guys who were chosen by Michael. So two questions in one then. How salvageable is this in time for just next week, which is the nature of the competition now, particularly that defensive issue that you're talking about, and does he bring back all the big guns? And then secondly, just on a wider level, I've also heard people wondering over the last 24 hours, is there just a staleness now setting in about this Tipperary camp? They've shipped big beatings and big games, they're on the road a long time, there's a lot of mileage, you know, is just whatever that bit of magic that you need some years gone?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go that far. No, I think it's too early to say that. I think next Sunday is a very, very important day. Mm. Can they turn it around in time? I'd expect it to play a lot better next Sunday. I think they have to. I think their backs are to the wall. I think the pressure is on. So I think you'll see them, well, I hope we'll see them coming out really on the front foot. But you're only as good as the personnel you have at a given time. I know Cathal Barrett has has had chronic hamstring issues over the last number of weeks. I'm not sure on Michael Cahill's fitness, to be honest with you. They're hugely experienced players. Mm. And I think now the situation that they're in, the experienced guys really need to show leadership. They really need to front up from the management perspective. Like Michael Ryan, I think, has done an incredible job over the last few years in terms of bringing players through and giving them championship experience. And like, he needs a kick back from them from the at this stage. Last year was a tough year with on the field and off the field like Sunday, and I would hope that it would happen. But they are under pressure, there's no question, and it might be too short a turnaround time for them to get it right. And certainly the full back line is the one area where they have to get it right with the firepower Cork have and the speed Cork have.
Yeah. No, I would say that, I presume that's at the forefront of their mind this week. We might just get your line sorted out because it's a bit messy. We might just knock off the visual there, JP, or something, and we'll get Tommy back up in a better line. Seanie, a word on Limerick then. 1981 is the last time that they beat Tip by 6 points in the championship. A lot of people very impressed with them throughout the league campaign. They got promotion. They're unbeaten. It was felt Tipperary were vulnerable, especially on Friday, not least because of this Limerick side, 2 under-21 All-Irelands in 3 years. And they delivered. And even on Friday when we were talking about this game in the show, there were Limerick fans texting in saying, well, we're not even sure what our best 15 is because we're feeling that healthy about our squad.
Yeah, and I suppose Limerick hurling has been on the up for a while, Joe. I heard a piece, I don't know who was it, from John Milan or someone during the week, just about Limerick hurling in general on a broader context, say with school stuff and with the college stuff with UL and say underage hurling. I mean, they give clear and awful trunks in the under-21 championship the other night. And like all those fellas that have performed at those underage levels coming up the ranks are now performing very, very well. Aaron Gillan is doing excellent. Gilmore Burns is playing very, very well. Morrissey in the corner. And I think the form of Cian Lynch, you know, he burst in the scene a couple of years ago in the forward line, but he really seems to have found his range out around midfield. I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Yes, he covers an ocean of ground. He's got fantastic flicks. And then they kind of have a nice blend as well. Big aerial ability, big strength in Gerard Hegarty. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be happy with if you're a Limerick supporter. Just, I suppose, look, it's easy to get carried away and it's brilliant and you get caught up in the euphoria. But like it wasn't even, you could call it like a first round championship game. Like it was a league, we're in the middle of a league format, you know, and you know, people are allowed to express their feeling and get out in the field, but there's a long way to go yet. You know, I think John Kiely now made that point as well after. He didn't get too emotional. I thought he was very, very composed in his interview, very, very calculated and made that point that he has to get these fellas back down to terra firma. The week off will stand to them. They'll have their week off next week. He's got a great backroom staff in Joe O'Connor and Paul Kinnear. I think Caroline Cuddle is doing a bit of the mental stuff as well. So, you know, he's given it everything. The players seem to be responding. You know, fellas like Graham McCahy, who've been around for a while and have got a bit of stake. He was a revelation as well, getting 4 great points from play. So there's much to be happy with. I just think they need to, as I said, get back down to the land of the living now, focus on training for the next 2 weeks and be ready for the challenge on Bank Holiday weekend against Cork.
If Limerick hurling can't get carried away, what's the point of living, Seanie? I mean, is that not the whole point?
They're willing to enjoy themselves up there, no doubt about it. But look, and I suppose like even making the point, yeah, you mentioned that 81 game. If you look at the last 5 games that they've played, 13, 14, 15, 16, and yesterday's game, like they've won 3 of their last 5 games, you could say, now against Tipperary. So like Limerick hurling is definitely on the way. They nearly caught Kilkenny in the semi-final a couple of years ago. They had to turn on the lights in the middle of the summer. They didn't go in there and got a late goal. So they're on the cusp of something. But just to make the point, just be guarded and not be carried away and stay focused on the task at hand of this one.
Yeah, and do you want to give a quick... So we'll, I guess we'll segue into Cork, Clare, at the weekend. Obviously it's Tipperary going to... Or it's Cork coming up to... Semple next weekend. How worried are you from a Tipperary perspective? I know as a Cork man you're not overly worried, but do you see them bouncing back or do you think there are issues with maybe the staleness of this Tipperary team?
I suppose Tipperary hurling over the last number of years has kind of been here before. You go back to 2010, Joe, you go back to 2014. Like I saw them in the park on another wet day in 2010. Jackie Halpine announced himself to the hurling board that day and he got 2 great goals and Tipperary were all over the place. Oh, they were horrendous. And they went to 81 the All-Ireland later on. So,
yeah,
like we've been here before with them. I think the natural ability that exists within the squad is just phenomenal. You know, Jason Flynn is, you know, a top player. He's really finding his range now. You know, a little bit quiet yesterday, but got a fabulous goal as well. only the best players can get those kind of goals on the run, taking it without breaking stride and finishing. And like, you know, the players we've mentioned, the Mahers, the Canlins, the Cahals, Kyle Barrett, Conor Maher, Michael Breen, I mean, the list is endless. They've got ferocious talent. You know, I think that it's a case of kind of regrouping during the week. Michael Ryan is keeping a low key. He's not talking to the press. Not sure what's going on there. They've had their problems in the past with players that have been, you know, kicked off panels. So whatever goes on inside in that camp, they just need to address it and get it right, because from a natural ability point of view, I don't think there's anyone who'll come anywhere near them. As a 15, particularly in the forward line, a starting six that they could put out, you know, there's very few teams in the country could match that. But, you know, as Tommy said, it's difficult to turn it around when the camp is low. I mean, that time as well, I go back to the 2010 game, get a couple of weeks to prepare. And when the momentum is not with you and the morale in the camp is low, they have a tough task in Cork yesterday. They were very impressive. They're going to be buoyed by the wind. So, you know, I won't say I'd be terribly fearful. Obviously, as a Corkman, I don't care. but, you know, having said that, they have a lot of work to do this week to get themselves back on track.
Yeah, we're in uncharted territory here. We don't quite know, really, at amateur level or with some of these teams, if it's better for them to get that game straight away to get the loss out of their system, or actually if they need a few weeks to recover. And that's going to be really interesting. So talk to us about Cork then, Shawnee. A 5-point win in the end against Clare. It was a really open game. There wasn't a sweeper in sight. It wasn't like either side actually really dominated for any great period of the game. It was fairly up and back.
Yeah, very much down to individuals. And as you said, no sweepers. It was fantastic to see it. I mean, in fairness to both camps, there was a couple of times inside that the likes of Sean O'Donoghue maybe and Damon Cahalan, or at different stages maybe Cahalan and Spillan were left isolated 2-on-2, and there was no obsession with trying to come back and protect that full back line. So it was great overall hurling, but it was man on man. You had your task, you had to try and beat your man, and if you were a defender, to try and get out in front. And it really came down to individuals really stepping up and producing some wonderful bits of skill and wonderful scores. I mean, none more so I suppose than Patrick Horgan, who, you know, he's carried the scoring mantle for Cork for a while now, both from play and from freeze. You know, and his flick back for the goal was pure skill. Connolly Head, who I'm a big fan of, just was outstanding. And Jamie Harnedy, who's been a big player for Cork, his form had dipped a little bit last year. I thought he showed great leadership yesterday, and he got a great goal, a drop shot, when a lot of fellas mightn't have had that ability. And then over on the Clare side, you know, Tony Kelly still, you know, showed the ability he has. A little bit subdued at times as well, but I thought that, you know, the goal was expertly taken. He got a couple of great points. Peter Duggan was, you know, his frees were good. Struggled a little bit during the game from play. John Collin was excellent. He got 5 great points. And Shane O'Donnell, I thought, was a real threat. And I suppose one of the standout points for me, a bit like the Kilkenny of old, was the aerial ability of the players. Colm Spillane in the air was fantastic at times. Shane O'Donnell, who's not a terribly tall man, was out in front catching 2 or 3 great balls, particularly in the first half. And Jamie Harnery's goal came from a direct puck out and taking it out of the air. And, you know, I suppose we wouldn't be really noted in Cork for being terribly, certainly in the last couple of years, for being terribly strong. But I thought early yesterday we were very, very dominant and got some great balls. So
I wonder, is that
all in all, it was a very, very enjoyable game. Great scores and great individual performances.
I wonder, is that something John Myler's maybe brought to the setup? Because it's difficult in some ways for him to take over a team that burst onto the scene in some respects last year. Some of the young players came through in an All-Ireland semi-final then. And I'm sure the players were sad to see the change of management. But Myler's come in. I saw a few people make the point that maybe that was a tougher looking Cork defence in particular. And maybe that's something Myler's brought in along with a bit more competitiveness in the air.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, John Myler, like, I remember him in the 80s as a young lad watching the likes of the Bears. He was a great Bears player and he was on the Cork panel in 86. And he was key tough. And I had him as, I actually remember him. We had him as a Cork under 16 manager way back in 1991. And John used to actually tug off at that time. And we thought he was a beast. I mean, he's a pair of calves in him, and he'd take a top some days, and geez, he was incredible. and he's brought that sort of physicality. I think you're right, so he's brought that sort of physicality and no-nonsense approach. His interviews have no-nonsense to them. Yeah. He doesn't overly praise players at the same time. He acknowledges when a fella plays well. But there's a no-nonsense approach there. And I suppose in fairness to John, sort of in tandem what Kieran has done, like over the last 2 seasons, I think I've noted at least 7 new players have come onto the Cork scene. Now, it's 15 aside, so 2 into 15 doesn't go to 7.5. So you could nearly say that almost half of the team has been refreshed over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And you kind of made the point to Tommy about maybe a small bit of stainless and kit. But I mean, I'm picking up players like Luke Leach and Kingston, Mike Callan, Mark Coleman, Dara Fitzgibbon, Sean Donoghue, Robbie O'Flynn. Like, you couldn't say that any of those 7 haven't contributed in some way. They've all made a contribution. So, in fairness to John, yeah, he's brought in a sort of no-nonsense approach. lovely and direct, get it into the full forward line as quickly as possible. Yeah. I think when they struggled a little bit yesterday, Joe, it was when they didn't hit the full forward line quickly enough. And at times, Patrick Horgan looked a bit frustrated. Yeah. But the minute the ball was peppered in there, it was lovely crossfield ball. Shane Kingston, the goal that was set up, came from a crossfield ball from right to left. When it went in fast and was delivered quickly, Cork were a major threat. And definitely, John, having been a selector for the last couple of years, getting to know the players, seeing the underage. You could go to a Ballinlock on a Friday night at a Junior B game, and John Moyler's out there looking at games.
Right.
I don't think I've seen a player that knows the Cork scene as well as John. So he's been part of that development over the last couple of years, bringing players through. And as I said, all of the seven that have come in the last 2 years have all contributed in some way.
Yeah. On Clare then, Tommy, I think you're back with us. There's a bit of... People are running out of faith maybe with this Clare team, if we're talking about them in terms of winning an All-Ireland post-2013. Tommy Welch was covering the game for us yesterday, and what he felt with Clare was he thought they actually worked the ball up the pitch better than he's seen them do it in recent years. There was a bit more variety at times. They were a bit more direct. There's some bigger men in that forward line and they were using them. But actually, when they got it up there, there were just some really bad decisions being made. Weirdly, sometimes taking shots from really crazy angles, and then other times when a goal was on or a really good opportunity was on, not going for the jugular. And actually, he was saying they could have been out of sight at halftime.
Yeah, well, actually, we were talking on this show last week, Doughty and myself, about Clare over the last few years. And Doughty made a great point, I thought, was that like they seemed to be very, very structured. And obviously, they were defensive and they liked to put balls into certain areas. And, you know, they played almost a possession type thing and didn't really play a direct style of hurling. So, it's probably no surprise, Joe, that some of those things are in their game now. It seems to me like that they might be changing, that, you know, they're going away from maybe the style of play that they've been used to for the last couple of seasons. So it's probably not going to be as easy a transition. It's probably going to be, you know, it's going to have its rough patches. But the point about it is, when you have like people like Duggan and Connell and Shane O'Donnell and Aaron Cunningham and these kind of guys with pace, you can play a direct game. And I the few bits that I saw them, particularly last year, when they played a direct style, they have the ability to hurt you. Mm. And, you know, like you were saying, had they converted some of their earlier chances, then games like this take on a whole different complexion. So I hope they persist with it and I hope they stay with it, because I think they will get the rewards, and I think they're well capable of playing that style of play, you know.
Yeah, and so a final point, if you follow on the logic there, this Ren Robin series may actually suit this team.
Yes.
It's a really sweet time if they're in the midst of trying to get to grips with a new way of going about their business. Then game on game might help. But now, admittedly, they don't have much leeway given that 2 out of 5 are out of the championship, but it could be beneficial.
That's the problem. It's a results-driven competition. So, there's a balancing act there. But I hope they stick with it. And I think they're capable of getting a few results. It'll be very tight in Munster. There's a lot of hurling to be played, like Shawnee said. The second round of matches are key. Because effectively the teams that lose really have to get a win under their belt almost in the next round, and certainly in the round after. But there is a bit of leeway. And all of the teams that are there are capable of qualifying, and that's hopefully what will keep us all engaged in it.
Yeah, well, Cork tip next week for a start should be brilliant. Tommy Dunn, Shawnee McGrath, thanks lads, appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
GAA
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.